Welcome to episode 46 of the Jake Talk Sports Podcast. Today I am back at it with Mr. Miller Football, the man, the myth, the legend. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So obviously you've been pretty big into the content thing for a while now. One of your biggest feats or accomplishments you've been working on recently is your team previews on the Ball Knower podcast. So why don't you talk me through that? You landed a lot of big people. What was the process of scheduling? I know it had to have been a nightmare because you said you had however many people on for certain teams and everything. So yeah, just walk me through that process. How long did it take you to get everything set up, and to, how did you land some of these bigger guys?
Well, I mean, the easiest thing to explain is how I landed the bigger guys. I just shot out DMs and got lucky. That's all it was. I got turned down by some people. I'm not going to name names, but there were definitely some people that didn't respond, and it kind of sucked, but it is what it is. And then, you know, with guys like Brett Coleman, Theo Ash, it was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. And it worked. So obviously I was pretty ecstatic about that. And then some other people like 5 Points Vids, he reached out to me because I had made a tweet like jokingly being like, I know you want to come on and hype up the Giants or hype up Daniel Jones. And he sent me a tweet or he sent me a DM and he was like, hey, I'll come on. And there are a couple other people like that, you know, guys that had their DMs closed. I tried that with. So, yeah, it was pretty much luck with that. And then in terms of scheduling, it's been a goddamn nightmare. I still don't have everything scheduled. If I'm being totally honest, there's still people I'm trying to figure out. There have been a couple people where it's like, I'll tell you this. The worst phrase I've learned when it comes to scheduling is I'm free whenever, bro. Just let me know. Like, dude, I gotta schedule 60, 70 other people. I need specifics here. And then they'll pull that, right? They'll pull that. I'm free whenever, bro. And then I'm like, okay, well, can you do this day? And they're like,
I don't know about that.
Actually, I have to do something that night. And I'm like, well, shit. What do you want me to, you know, it's been a lot of that. And then some people have like agreed to come. These are the best, by the way. I put out a TikTok a while ago asking people if they like wanted to come on, just anyone, right? Because I at that point I was like, I'm not going to get enough creators. I'll just bring on people that know my content.
Sure.
And they'll reach out to me on Twitter, TikTok, whatever. And then the day of, I'll message them and be like, hey man, you good for tonight? Never get an answer. Straight up ghost me. I had one guy delete his whole ass TikTok to get away from me.
Like, really?
Yeah, it's
that's
been wild, but
dude. That is crazy.
Yeah. But, you know, when you do something ambitious like I did that I was way in over my head on, it's going to happen, but it's fine. I've been able to manage it. I've been, apart from some technical issues that I've been very vocal about on Twitter, fuck Streamcastify, by the way.
Dude. I saw your TikTok about that. You were paying like a yearly thing for that. Is that right? Am I crazy? Or?
Yeah, I dropped $40 or $50 back when we started, and it worked fine for the longest time. And then just randomly, I think what ended up happening was I had too many people on the screen and it just couldn't handle it.
That's the thing.
But
yeah.
I've moved on to StreamYard, which is so much better.
I'm sure.
It's a little bit more expensive, but it's a lot better. It's great.
Yeah, man. How many have you done? Have you been keeping track? Do you know? Or what are you at?
I think we're at 15 uploaded. I'm uploading the 16th one after I hop off here. And then in terms of recorded, we're probably in the low 20s.
Okay. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Yeah, because like obviously like I had the pleasure of being a part of the Packers one. And I mean, that one went pretty smoothly conversation-wise, but have you run into, like, that was mostly because Theo knows what he's doing. But, like, have you run into some, like, of the team preview recordings where you've just kind of had to deal with some, like, just dead silence, or has it been mostly smooth sailing in that area?
And it's not people, like, you know, being, I mean, some of it is being awkward, but most people are just afraid to talk over each other.
Yeah.
So, like, someone will finish talking and, you know, it hasn't been established, like, this person speaks, then this person speaks or whatever. So there's a moment or a couple moments and I have to be like, hey, you want to say something? So it hasn't been too bad. There's not a bunch of breaks, but the worst, like, issue with that so far I've had is just people getting off topic so quickly, which is fun because, like, NFL fans, you know, we can sit and talk for hours about different stuff. Like, last night I was recording with two Cowboys fans And I would say probably about 50 minutes of the actual recording was about the Cowboys, and we recorded for like 2 hours. they just didn't want to talk about how abysmal the offseason was, which, like, I can't blame them. The Cowboys royally screwed themselves.
But... Terrible, yeah.
And it was apparent that was going to be an issue right away, because the first one I did was with Geek.
Yeah.
And we, you know, me and him could go back and forth forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is, though. We're still talking about football. It's not like... That's not true. There was one episode where we started talking about Pokemon for a little bit, but like for the most part, man. Yeah. For the most part, they've been pretty, you know, at least somewhat on topic, and some of them have gotten kind of long, and I know some people don't want to sit through the long form content and whatnot, but
right.
It's been a ton of fun. I can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's awesome, and you know, keep it up. I mean, it's been awesome to watch just the way that you've been able to somehow, like I said, schedule all of this. Like, I don't understand it. But yeah. I mean, you're doing it, man. And obviously, yeah, the team beers have been a big part of your brand lately. What's always been a big part of your brand is your love for one oddly specific and very random position in football.
That random, is the fullback. But oddly specific. What are you? It's not like I'm obsessed with long snappers. It's a relevant position.
It was.
No. Okay. Don't start with me. I will throw hands.
We don't have time to get into that, but what we do have time to get into is some Madden ratings. And you have been very vocal on Twitter since it happened about your discontent with the Madden ratings. So I'm going to run through the top 10, and then I'm going to let you talk about what you would have changed. So obviously, Kyle Juszczyk's number one. He's an 87 overall. I don't know how he has 80 speed. I don't understand that. That's one thing that kind of stands out to
quicker.
Me. He's pretty fast, right? Like, I mean, come on.
Juszczyk should be way quicker than that. I didn't even see that. I was just looking at the overall rating. Yeah, that's criminal.
Yeah. And then, like, Pat Ricard isn't at 81. He's second with 70 speed, which I don't watch much fullback tape, so I don't know how fast some of these guys are.
Ricard's not very quick. He's just kind of... too physically overpowering for people to handle. So 70 speed isn't too bad for him. I would bump it up a little bit, but I can get behind it.
He's got that 90 strength though, so you know where it's at.
That should be higher. Should have 99 strength.
Yeah.
He should.
Then there's Alec Ingold and Andy Janovich, and Alec Ingold has the highest throw power out of all of them. If you care about that stat for a fullback.
I didn't know that, but that's going to be fun.
With 60 throw power. So if you're running those fake punts with the fullback, you know who to use.
Really? The highest is 60?
In the top 10.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm only looking at the overall. First 10 or 11.
I was going to say, because you're looking at like Johnny Stanton, who was a high school quarterback and a damn solid one at that. I figured he'd have higher than 60.
So then you have Janovich, Ingold, CJ Ham, Kari Blasengame from your Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. Ben Mason, there are two Ravens fullbacks in the top 10.
There are two backup fullbacks in the top 10.
And there's Keithan Carter, who I know you had a Twitter rant about him, or you said something on Twitter about him.
And then Michael Burton. Upon his downfall.
So yeah, let's talk about the list, what you would change and stuff. Obviously, you agree with Kyle Juszczyk at one, right? Like that's
not Yeah, but he's too low of an overall.
I feel like it's
too low.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is this not just another Justin Tucker situation?
Where like
all his like fullback stats are really good, but then you have like the BS like throw power and stuff that bring it down.
Most likely, yeah. The thing is, EA bases a lot of their ratings off statistical achievement, and Juszczyk obviously playing fullback in today's NFL isn't going to blow you away statistically, but like. He's been the best at his position for nearly a decade now, and nobody touches him. So, I don't understand how you can justify him being below a 90.
Mm-hmm.
If it were up to me, him and Tucker would both be in the 99 club. But I can get not wanting to put him in the 99 club.
I agree with the Tucker thing about being 99.
Oh yeah,
sure.
Tucker certainly should be. There shouldn't be an argument there.
Shouldn't be. No, not at all. And then these other guys, I mean, Pat Ricard, if I was making this list, he would be number two.
Absolutely, but again, way too low of an overall.
Right, he's only an 81. There's a 6 overall drop off between Juszczyk and Ricard. I don't see that.
I mean, I don't hate the gap between the two of them. Like I posted my what they should be so to speak, on Twitter, and I had Juszczyk at a 93 and Ricard at an 88. Like, I think that would be a lot better.
Okay. Dude. Oh, yeah, Johnny Stanton does have the highest throw power, by the way.
Okay, that makes
with
more sense.
With a 63. 63. So, ooh, three higher now than we're getting Mr. Ingold.
Right.
So then, yeah, Janovich over Ingold was one that I was a little bit confused about. You want to enlighten me on that?
No, Janovich shouldn't be that high. I'm a big fan of Andy Manovich. He's a stud. But he's like, I don't want to discredit him, but he's just not, he doesn't bring to the table what guys like Ingold and Ham do. You know, he's a hell of a blocker, but he's not super athletic. He's not a great pass catcher. He's not a great pure runner. Like, he's a hell of a fullback, but he doesn't have that versatility. And I would argue guys like Ham do the blocking thing maybe a little bit better. So I think I had him at 6 when I did like my Madden ratings. So I think they got him a little bit too high. I think Ham, Ingold, and Keith Smith, who, by the way, might have the worst Madden rating out of any player in the NFL, I have those three above him.
Janovich does have the, like, third highest catching rating out of the fullback somehow.
What?
Out of the top 10. He's at, like...
What?
Juszczyk's at a 75, Ingold's at a 72, and then there's... Blazegame and CJ Hammer at 70s, and then there's him at 69, and that's higher than any other guy on the list. So the only guys ahead of him are Juszczyk, Ricard's the same, Janovich is the same, is 69, Ingold's higher, Ham's higher, Blazegame's higher, and then Keith and Carter's higher. Other than that, like, I'm looking at this list, and he's got like one of the highest.
I don't know how I feel about that. Keith and Carter can be high because he's not a tight end. Or I'm sorry, he's not a fullback, he's a tight end.
Sure, let's jump on the list for a second. You seem pretty upset about Keith and Carter.
Oh my god, dude, listen, I did the research. I was watching Keith and Carter film today. How many people have said that sentence before?
I don't think any.
How many?
Yeah.
Right. I was watching the film. I was looking at different websites that had him list like his statistical stuff, like Pro Football Reference and whatnot. First of all, he's never been listed as anything but a tight end on any roster. Dating all the way back to Cincinnati in 2017, tight end. 2019, the next year he played, tight end. 2020, tight end. 2021 in Miami, tight end. He hasn't had a single career carry in the NFL. And he played tight end in, yeah, he played tight end in college, but every once in a while ran the ball. He had like 4 career carries in college.
Google has him listed as a fullback for some reason, too. That's whack.
If you actually go into his Wikipedia article, it says tight end. It says fullback, like, at the top.
That's so strange.
He's a pro football fullback, but he's listed as a tight end. He's one of those guys that plays tight end, but every once in a while takes a snap out of the backfield. That's an H-back. That's not a fullback.
Well, I was going to say, that's like 90% of backup tight ends are just people who play tight end, but then occasionally will line up in the fullback position because their team doesn't use a fullback.
Yeah, and he's not carrying the football. He's just setting a block here and there. He's a tight end.
Right.
But he's a top 10 fullback, apparently. God, I hate Madden. I hate Electronic Arts.
I love how this is the most controversial one for you. That's so cool.
This
is the one that just makes you so angry out of all like the bad lists they've put out. I mean, this one is pretty bad. I will give you that. As like, Kari Bozengame, I'm sure you're pretty familiar with him. Being a Bear, but he wasn't a Bear last year, obviously, but you know.
He was in Tennessee.
This dude, he's a 72, so he's after Ingold and Ham. He has the highest speed out of the top 10.
As he should.
He has the highest acceleration.
As he should.
He has the highest agility.
He should.
He's up there for the catching, carrying, throw power. I mean, he's up there in pretty much every stat. I mean, he's kind of a dog. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. Yeah, Kari, he's definitely the most athletic fullback in the NFL right now. He's not quite the blocker that a guy like Ham or Ingold or Juszczyk is, so I kind of drop him below, as much as I hate to say it as a Bears fan. Plus, he doesn't have the physicality to him that some of those guys have. He's very quick. He's very athletic in terms of his quickness and his agility and all that stuff, that, you know, pretty much all the stats you just listed off. He's good. He's definitely good. I'm not trying to discount him, but he's kind of like the top of what I would call the second tier of fullbacks.
Sure.
Which would be right outside of the top 5.
Okay.
Well, kind of. He's in that conversation.
Okay. Let's talk about some guys outside of the top 10. I like I said, I do not know fullbacks nearly as much as you do, but the way you talk about Johnny Stanton does not make me confident that he's only a 62.
I mean, Stanton's all right. He's nothing great. When I did my redo, I had him at a 68. Like, he's not a superstar at fullback, but like, he's solid. He gets the job done. I was just talking about him earlier with his throw power, because I know for a fact he played quarterback in high
63,
school.
63, so
I figured they'd give him a little bit more than that.
Yeah. This is just interesting to me. If I were to name the bottom five fullbacks outside of Stanton, do you think you could name the team they all play on?
Most likely.
Okay.
I'd say so.
So the first one, Giovanni Ricci, or Ricky.
Panthers.
Okay. Adam Prentice. Oh, that's an easy one, I think.
That's a New Orleans Saints, baby.
Yep. Jeremiah Hall.
Jeremiah Hall, UDFA out of, I want to say Arkansas. He's on the Giants.
Oh, my God.
He's Oklahoma, sorry. Not Arkansas, Oklahoma.
Keith Smith.
Keith Smith's with the Atlanta Falcons, and he might have just gotten the most disrespectful Madden rating of all time.
Okay, we'll talk about him in a
top
second.
Top five then. Fullback.
And then Roger Carter.
Roger Carter, I literally learned about him the other day. He's a UDFA from the Rams.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't think the Rams had a fullback until just now.
Insane. I'm going to move past that. I don't know how you know that, but that's dope.
In all fairness, I was just looking at them like earlier today because of the ratings, but I don't think Roger Carter might have been the only one I wouldn't have gotten, because, like I said, I kind of just learned that he existed. So
how is this Keith Smith top five take forming? Is this an actual thing, or is this one of your jokey things?
No, it's not a joke. I don't make jokes when it comes to fullbacks. Who do you think I am?
That's true. That's true.
No, Keith Smith, I mean, if you want to look at Atlanta and the success that Cordarrelle Patterson had this past season, a lot of it can be attributed to how good of a lead blocker Keith Smith was for them. And Atlanta's been a team, at least in my lifetime, that's always had, you know, good fullbacks. Like Pat DeMarco before him was an absolute dog. And Keith Smith, I wouldn't say is quite on Pat DeMarco's level, but like pretty damn near close.
Sure.
He's just a fantastic blocker. Now, I'd have to... sit down and think about where I'd rank him in terms of like his athletic ability and whatnot, but it's not like he's bad or anything. He's pretty solid there, but his blocking ability really, really sets him apart and really puts him up there. I actually, my boy Hammy Takes was the one who really put me onto his ability, because Keith Smith was a guy I'd kind of let go to the wayside, and then I watched the tape and I'm like, oh, okay, I see the vision. I see why you're trying to put me onto him. So Keith Smith's a dog, and getting a 61 overall is one of the most disrespectful things I've seen from EA. Ridiculous.
So before we move away from fullbacks, one last question. Where did the fullback thing come from for you? Is that one of those things that you kind of like developed an interest for when you were younger as a fan, and then it kind of just got more serious as like became more serious as an NFL fan? Or where does this obsession with fullbacks come from?
Okay, so when I was little, I used to be obsessed with like my dad, the fact that he played high school football, which, you know, is kind of goofy in hindsight, because, you know, your dad played high school football. Whose dad didn't play high school football? But like my dad, I got to put it into context.
Go for it. Go for it.
The school I graduated from, the school he graduated from, runs the wing T offense, where your fullback is like the primary ball carrier.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And our school has a long history of really fucking good fullbacks, and my dad is one of them. So growing up, you know, listening to my dad doesn't like to talk about it because, you know, he's a grown ass man and realizes bragging about your high school football career is cringy as shit. But like my grandpa hypes him up all the time.
Sure.
And there was a point where we got a bunch of like his old tapes, and my dad was like, you know what, I'll let him watch him. So I watched him and fell in love with like watching fullbacks play. Hmm. And then that was when I was, you know, just getting into football. So you had guys like Marcel Reese, Mike Tolbert, Pat DeMarco, Kyle Juszczyk back when he was with the Ravens. Like, that was an era of the NFL where there were a ton of talented fullbacks.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I see the vision. I like him. I like him a lot.
That's
and
awesome.
And then it kind of, like, I'm not going to say dwindled away, but wasn't something that was, you know, where it is now until this past season, where I started watching more and more of the 49ers. seeing how Kyle Shanahan used Kyle Juszczyk, I started to be like, okay, there is a future with this. There is a reason why they should come back, and kind of just sprouted from there. And I started, you know, when we got into the off season, there wasn't much to talk about. I was just like, you know what, I'm going to make a video about a fullback each day. And it just kind of took off from there. And
yeah,
that's when I started to get into like the evaluating fullbacks and making lists and, you know, knowing every fullback on every team and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it went from like, I like them a lot to a straight up obsession, I guess you could say.
Yeah. That's all. I did not know like the fullbacks were behind that. That's really cool. So yeah, moving off of fullbacks, although I know you could talk about them for an entire episode. The Madden ratings in general were pretty abysmal. So I want to go over like maybe one or two position groups that were pretty controversial. I know I watched a video on these, but I do not remember what you felt about them because I think the quarterbacks came out a while ago. So I'll talk about the quarterbacks for a second. I am just blown away by Tom Brady being at one. I cannot believe it. I'm very upset.
It's not even the most offensive thing they did.
No, it's not, because why is Joe Burrow above Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, and Lamar Jackson?
Why is Dak at six? That's my big problem. Why is Dak so high?
I ranked all the starters in one of my videos, and I'm pretty sure he wasn't even in the top 10 for me.
Yeah, I've got Dak at 13, but I can see arguments for him being top 10. But if you're going to put him in the top 10, he's higher than like 10.
It's 10.
Yeah.
Because they have him above the Super Bowl winning quarterback. Him above Russell Wilson, who if I were to... I think this is an okay top 10 list, but if I were to switch somebody out, it would be Russell for Kyler. It's my personal opinion.
I'd take Dak out for Kyler before I'd take Russ out, but fair enough.
I've just cooled on Russ. I don't know why. Maybe I shouldn't, because last year was kind of like a fluke year for him, I believe. But
yeah. Russ still... he's a goofy dude, but he's still got that dog in him. Russ is still a good quarterback. I am worried about him this year, just because we haven't seen him play in structure in God knows how long, and he's got a rookie head coach who's going to try to make him play in structure, and his receiver core is, I don't want to say overrated because I hate that term, but like overhyped.
They're overhyped. I mean, yeah. I think that, honestly, you know, Jerry Jeudy's probably the biggest victim of the overhype.
I have no faith in Jeudy.
He's an insane route runner. He's really good. Got good hands, and that's about it. That's all he can do. He can't make contested catches. He can run routes,
and that's it.
Yeah. He's a worse version of Keenan Allen, basically.
The glorified Cole Beasley. Out the toughness.
He's a younger Cole Beasley.
He's a glorified Cole Beasley without playing the toughness, like, which I'm only saying because, right?
Yeah,
kind of came off racist. I didn't mean it like that. Who said without the toughness?
Confirmed.
No, I just mean like I haven't seen him be the type of guy that's going to take a hit over the middle and hold on to the ball and things like that, like guys like Cole Beasley do.
Makes sense.
I guess if you want to put it that way, he's like a worse... No, because Sky Moore can do a lot more than he can. I don't know. I just don't like Jerry Jeudy.
Sky Moore looks good.
Sky Moore is going to be a demon.
I don't know if you've
seen... I'm kind of upset that the Chicago passed on him. I know, I saw his stuff in camp today.
Hey, man, instead you get Velus Jones Jr., a 25-year-old rookie.
Velus looks good today.
Did he?
Yeah. Bears Media started calling him Gramps. And I saw so many tweets that said Gramps broke so and so, Gramps burnt so and so, Gramps absolutely demolished so and so. So
that's
must have been killing it.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna talk a lot about Bears camp, because obviously you're a Bears fan for some reason. Right. Then Brady. So Brady's at one. Don't agree. I would have Rodgers at one. He's got to be 99. This isn't even biased. He has won the MVP award twice in a row. What is wrong with Madden? How many times does he have to do it for them to finally just give him a 99 overall?
See, I think Rodgers loses points for his haircut and like how he pulls up to camp every year. Did you see that video of him in the tank top?
That was funny. That was funny.
It wasn't. He looked like a pompous douche. He looked like the bad guy at a high school football game.
He was portraying.
Oh, he's portraying a
Nick
character.
Cage.
No,
Nick
he's
Cage.
Just a douchebag.
I don't disagree. He's a bad person. But he's my quarterback, and he's a good one.
Yeah, well, I hate to break it to you, but your quarterback's a dick.
Oh no, 100%. Yeah, I hate Aaron Rodgers.
Just as a side note, real quick, that's my favorite thing to tell Packers fans when they make the whole "Oh, Aaron Rodgers is your dad" joke. Like, I made a post on Father's Day with like Mitch Trubisky's record versus the Vikings, and I said, "Vikings,
that's so funny."
I'm gonna say Happy Father's Day, and someone replied and said, "Did you wish Rodgers a Happy Father's Day?" And my response was something along the lines of, "I would have tried, but he doesn't speak to his family, so it would have been pointless."
Dude, I was too young. I mean, I couldn't even say we were too young, because I'm pretty sure we're around the same age.
Right.
When Rodgers like cut off the ties with his family, just to kind of comprehend what was going on, and I was like, "Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. I'm a young Packers fan. Everything's great." And now I'm here. I'm just like, "Oh, what did you do?" Like,
and now his girlfriend's a practicing witch.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, if he wasn't the Packers quarterback, I don't know what I would say about him. But I have a little bit of an ounce of loyalty to him because of that. But anyway,
an ounce of loyalty. He's the best quarterback you've ever seen play. You better have more than an ounce. Well, play for your team. Not the best you've ever seen play. You've watched Tom Brady play football.
No,
you've watched Tom Brady play football.
He's the greatest, not the best. I'll stand by that take.
I don't know.
That's fair. But between Aaron,
it's one of my hot takes. I already think Mahomes is the most talented quarterback to ever play.
Between Rodgers and Brady, if I had to ask you who the more talented quarterback was, anybody would say Rodgers, right?
Rodgers can do more. Yeah, absolutely.
That's an early take from Mahomes, though. I mean, the dude's only in like
But look at what he's doing.
I mean, obviously, yeah. I mean, I don't disagree that he's got to be up there.
I'm not saying he's the GOAT. I'm just saying he's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen.
I mean, if there was to be a guy currently playing who could finish as the GOAT, it would be Mahomes, I would say.
Yeah. Mahomes is going to go down as like the LeBron James of the NFL in the sense that he's going to finish second all time.
Yeah,
like
probably.
He's going to look damn good while he does it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Mahomes at three. I mean, the top four might be right. I go back and forth where I put Brady on my lists, but, like, the top four, like, quarterback-wise, like, name-wise, is probably fine.
Who's at fourth? Josh Allen?
Yeah, 92.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say they got the names right. I put Brady above Herbert.
Yeah, and then Burrow's five. I don't know what to say. One of my hotter takes. I don't know if it's a hot take. It's probably a hot take because he went to the Super Bowl. But I think he's one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't get
Burrow's not overrated. He's a good quarterback.
I know he is, but he's not like better. There are people who think he's better than Josh Allen, and there are people who think everybody's better than everybody.
That goes for any player. I'll guarantee you, I could go out there and I could find somebody that thinks Tua is better than Patrick Mahomes.
I do think.
Wait,
I mean, like,
of course there is, because there's a starting receiver in Miami who thinks that. Sorry, I wanted to. Sorry.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I think Drew Locke's better than Josh Allen, but I don't say that, right? Like,
right,
right. I would never say that, but I would think it. Anyway, Dak Prescott is at 89 at six.
It's ridiculous.
My Drew Lock take does not stem as far as I say it does, but I do genuinely like Drew Lock quite a bit. I can't
more
give up
Dak?
On him, man. Not more than Dak. No. I mean, like, okay. Drew Lock is like, my take is that like he's not like the 32nd best starter in the NFL if he's a starter.
Oh, he's not. It's Sam Darnold. I guess Darnold isn't really a starter at this point. Baker took his
job. He might be. The training camp numbers
Sam
might
Darnold
say otherwise.
He is not going to start over Baker. If they start him over Baker, they need to clear house after the first game of the season.
I think it'd be funny, though. If Sam Darnold just comes marching out there against the Browns instead of Baker.
I think Baker would do something to him on the sidelines to get in.
Baker has to sit on the sidelines and watch as the Panthers beat the Browns.
Baker's going to put like X-Lax in his water bottle at halftime. Come in at the end of the game and win it.
Lamar Jackson, baby. Speaking of Lamar, he's only an 87, which
That's
I get. I get him. I don't get an 87. I think he's a 90 plus probably. Yeah. I mean, he's one of those guys where like they don't respect his throwing that much, so they like don't give him like.
It's ridiculous, man.
Hey, man, listen, I'm a Kyler over Lamar truther. I think you are, too.
And as well.
But that does not mean that I do not love Lamar Jackson. Like, no, Lamar is I'm in awesome. The same boat. Like, his throwing ability just does not get enough credit for it. I mean, it doesn't.
It's because his receivers can't catch, so the numbers don't look good. When in reality, Lamar's putting it in the damn breadbasket, and they just can't come down with it. There's plenty of examples of that.
That one, I think it was against the Broncos last year where Hollywood just kind of, I don't know what he did, but he was like wide open in the end zone. Lamar hit him. And
Hollywood Brown's one of the worst receivers I've ever seen. He's so bad.
What does what does Hollywood Brown do good?
Speed.
So he's Tyreek Hill. I'm just kidding. No, I love
Tyreek Hill. Glorified John Ross.
Glorified John Ross. Healthy John Ross. Unfortunately.
Healthy John Ross, dude, oh my god.
If I was on Twitter when John Ross got drafted, I would have gotten flamed for some of my takes about him, bro. I was so high on him.
I didn't even know who John Ross was when he got drafted. I was just like, oh look, dude's fast. Good for him.
Fast guy runs 40.
What year was that? 2014?
When he got drafted? I don't know. Let me check.
It was 2014. I was too busy coasting off the high of Kevin White. And that would have been 2015. 2014 was Kyle
2017
Fuller.
Was the year 2017?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was too busy crying over Mitch Trubisky.
What was I doing in 2017? 2017 might have been either before Rodgers' second collarbone or right after. I forget. But
not sure. Dude, I wanted Jamal Adams in that draft so bad.
That, I mean, would have helped the pass rush, let me tell you that. Wait. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Russ, quarterback ratings.
Russ and Lamar are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. What? I don't care. I don't care. Like literally, like Lamar, like Russell Wilson gets disrespected. Lamar gets disrespected. Why not just make him the same rating so people can argue about it? And then the Super Bowl winning quarterback in 85, which.
That's just. Listen, I said it when I made my video. Matt Stafford has to be sleeping with somebody's wife at EA. There's no other reason why they do that to him,
dude. That's so messed up, bro. They're just like we can't put him any higher. He's hurt me too much.
I made that comment, and then someone commented on my video and said "Frat Stafford strikes again," and that was like the funniest thing in the world.
Matt Stafford tore apart my family. Therefore, he's an 85.
Frat Stafford.
Oh man, dude.
But yeah, it's beyond disrespectful. EA, to my understanding, they work with Pro Football Focus.
Which automatically discredits them in my mind. Yeah.
For the most part, yeah. I was going to say, EA took one W this year. They made Trent Williams a 99. That was their only dub.
Dude, there was a lot of backlash for that, but I think it's good.
I know, and it's so stupid. Trent Williams is very clearly the best offensive lineman in football.
He's the best, because people were like saying that he's having the best tackle. Like I remember Packers Twitter is a place where the belief is still David Bakhtiari is the best tackle in football.
Bakhtiari can't even stand up right now.
And I, as a Packers fan, I have wholeheartedly been fighting that take because I love David Bakhtiari, but he has not played a full season, and I can't even remember how long the last time he played every game of the season. He is very good, and at his healthiest, at his best in his prime, he was
still behind Trent Williams.
Maybe I mean, like before Trent Williams, like when he was like,
oh, okay, well,
at his best. Yes, maybe he was the best tackle in football, but right now, absolutely not. There's no shot. And
no, there's
also
no chance he's better than Trent
don't
Williams.
Slaughter me, but since we're on the offensive lineman thing, is Zach Martin really that good? I don't know anything about Zach Martin. I really don't.
Have you not know anything about Zach Martin? He's a damn generational talent.
I know. Zach Martin's one of those guys where everybody tells me he's good and I believe them, but I've never actually watched film of him like in depth.
Why?
I just know he's good. I don't know. Why have I had to?
He's a certified people mover.
I know he's good, but a 98 every single year, something's up. I don't know.
Him and a 98 and Quentin Nelson and a 95 doesn't sit right with me. Mm-hmm. I think they're closer than that, but like he's that good.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, I believe it, dude. I just never watch him for some reason. Maybe I should. What other teams?
Receivers were awful. Well, yeah, screwed over Jamar Chase, kept him out of the top 10.
Let's look at the receivers before we move off of the ratings. Top 10, Davante Adams, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Kupp,
I'm okay with it after the year he just had. EA likes to go off the previous year.
That's true.
So I understand it. He's not the second best receiver in football, but he had the best season out of any receiver, but Tay's 10.
Right. Tay's 10. Then you got Tyreek. This top five is my top five name-wise right now, just in a different order.
Okay.
Tyreek, DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs. Actually, no, Justin Jefferson's in there. Never mind.
Yeah, you're a weird anti-Justin Jefferson.
I was. Sure. I was. What finally fixed you?
What fixed you?
I had watched Justin Jefferson, like, film and stuff, like, previous to my anti-take. But, like, me and Geek had a heated talk on his podcast about Justin Jefferson.
Good.
And I went and I looked and I watched, like, I think I sat down for 2, maybe 3 hours and just watched Justin Jefferson. And like, I was just like, I've done this man so wrong. So I have him at 4 now.
The only thing keeping Justin Jefferson from being the best receiver in football is Kirk Cousins. If he had a real quarterback,
game over.
I'll put it this way: you give Justin Jefferson, Derek Carr, or Aaron Rodgers, he's putting up 2,200 yards easy.
My hot take:
swap him and Tay, he'd be insane.
My hot take was that this was a while ago. I don't know if I stand by it. My hot take was that Justin Jefferson was going to go for 2,000 next year anyway, but I don't think it's going to happen with Kirk and with Thielen being there. But that was one of my hotter takes.
I wouldn't be surprised if he hit 2,000.
Like 17 game season, he's might end up being the best receiver in football next year. Kirk puts up yards. He does.
At the end of the day, Kirk puts up yards.
And Thielen's not that healthy. I think the good
thing about that, though, yeah. The good thing about that, if it happens, though, is I think everyone's going to realize it's all Jefferson and not Kirk, so we're not going to have to listen to, like, Kirk MVP narratives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll just be like, look how Justin Jefferson is elevating Kirk Cousins.
Right. That makes sense. And then Stephon Diggs is 5. Just Jefferson out of the top 5, I will say, is a little bit iffy now that I've kind of switched around on him.
Criminal.
And then in this order, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Terry, and Amari Cooper over Jamar Chase. Amari
Cooper's questionable.
That's why I kind of like, Amari, is he better than Jamar Chase right now?
He's not better than Jamar Chase. Is AJ Brown in the top 10?
No, AJ Brown is
not better than AJ Brown.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18th in rating.
What?
Yeah, he's 18th. The guys ahead of him outside of the top 10. So the top 10 ends with Amari Cooper, and then before AJ Brown, it's MT, Tyler Lockett, Chris Godwin, DK, Debo, Adam Thielen, and DJ Moore.
Oh my God.
How is Tyler Lockett a 90? I love Tyler Lockett. I do. But he's above DK.
But because of his ball tracking.
It's true.
Tracking the ball good.
He can track the ball good, so therefore he is good receiver.
He's tracking the ball good. No, AJ Brown, man. Debo, and Jamar.
Jamar Chase is 20th.
That's ridiculous. I think DJ Moore is too low, too. DJ Moore should be right outside the top 10.
Technically rating-wise he is, because he's 2 below the 10th. He's just down on the list.
Okay. Gotcha.
He's an 88, Mark Cooper's a 99. Not 99,
90. He's a what?
No, he's not. AJ Brown's only 3 outside of the 90. So is Jamar Chase. Like, those guys are all like in the exact same round, pretty much.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley's still up there.
Interesting.
I don't know what to say. Like, I really, I don't necessarily know if he should have been suspended or not. I go back and forth.
Listen.
Not for an entire year.
I don't even know. I don't hate an entire year. The only reason an entire year is bad is because of the other crimes that have been committed and the suspension they get relative to him. If the NFL did the right thing with these guys that are doing unspeakable acts, then a year for betting on games would be a lot more reasonable. Lifetime just because I feel like they're
lifetime bet. Like,
yeah, exactly. If you're getting players betting on games mid-season, that opens up a lot of dialogue about, are these games fixed? Are they rigging these games? Mm-hmm. And that hurts your credibility. It hurts the brand. It hurts the league. So, like, I get why they suspended him for as long as he did, but it's inexcusable if he who shall not be named doesn't get a lifetime ban, or at least a multi-year, quote-unquote, indefinite ban.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, yeah. Anyway... Do you have any other further comments on any Madden ratings before we move on to some Bears camp stuff? Yeah, we have to talk about
the linebackers real quick.
Oh, sure. Let's go for it.
Okay, linebacker, for those who don't know, linebacker is my second favorite position in football. I'm a very much a linebacker enjoyer. And you're going to see right away, there's a certain individual in the top five that does not belong in the top ten.
I'm assuming you're not talking about Khalil Mack, right?
We're talking about off-ball linebackers, not edge rushers.
True.
Goofball.
Let me just apply that filter. Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh wait.
We're talking about them big boys in the middle, not the ones coming off the edge. Do you want me to just read you off the top 10?
I have the top 10 in front of me.
Okay.
Does
it include outside linebackers too? Because there is one outside linebacker.
Do you want me to just filter it to be middle linebackers?
I mean, most of them are middle linebackers. I'll just tell you Darius Leonard and Micah Parsons are in the top 10 too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Who do you think isn't in the top five, though?
Bobby Wagner.
Oh.
The fourth-ranked. He's the fourth-ranked off-ball linebacker.
Mm-hmm. That is a little odd. I did not look at the linebackers extensively. I'll be real.
I did.
I'm very glad that Fred Warner is the highest-rated middle linebacker.
Fred Warner should have a higher rating.
I think he should be easily a 96 or 97, I would say.
96 is right around. I put him as well. I love DeMario Davis at 2, though. That's incredibly based.
I'm very good at
that. Not where I'd put him, but it's based, giving him his recognition.
I love Levante David, but is he really the third best?
He's top 5. If I were gonna change what they've got going on. Actually, no. Levante David isn't top 5 now.
Wait, the fifth middle linebacker is so low. What the?
You're looking at middle linebackers. Like I said, this has Darius Leonard in it, and he's listed as an outside linebacker.
Right. Yeah.
The fifth middle linebacker should be an 89, right?
No, it's Eric Henderson, 88.
Maybe they moved Roquan to outside linebacker because he's at an 89.
Yeah, Roquan's listed on the EA website. Which one of these is
not a middle linebacker? Because it's Warner, Davis, David, Wagner, Leonard, Smith, Parsons, Kendricks, Campbell, White.
Leonard is listed as a left outside linebacker.
Right.
Here is the list I'm looking at.
Okay.
TJ Watt at left outside linebacker, Fred Warner, DeMario Davis at middle, Khalil Mack at right outside linebacker, Levante at middle linebacker, in this order. Bobby Wagner at middle linebacker, Bosa at left outside, Chandler Jones at right outside, Darius Leonard at left outside, Rashawn Gary at left outside. That's the top 10. And then Roquan at right outside.
You're looking at all the linebackers.
Yeah.
I'm looking at just off-ball linebackers. Like, I've got a graphic pulled up in front of me. Okay. I'm not looking at the website.
Yeah, I got you.
But, like, Bobby Wagner being at 4 is ridiculous, and then Devin White should not be in the top 10. Devin White, I think, and I will use the term I don't like to use, he is the most overrated defensive player in football.
Agreed. I do not like Devin White at all.
Devin White is incredibly mid, and Buccaneers fans talk about him like he's the second coming. He's not that good. He's a good run defender, but he can't cover the pass.
That's kind of where the hype comes from, right? Like, he cannot cover.
Right. Yeah, like, he's a really good run defender, but you can't be a top 10 linebacker if you can't pass at
but
all.
People
you
take,
can't cover anything.
One thing NFL fans do, and I don't want to use the term overrating with this because I don't think this is all overrating, but people will take a guy who was really good at one thing and just kind of generalize him as being really great at his position. It's the same thing with Jerry Jeudy. Like, Jerry Jeudy is a really good route runner, but that does not make him, like, a top-tier receiver, right? And it's the same thing with Devin White. It's the same thing with, like why is Tremaine Edmonds an 84? What has he done?
Tremaine Edmonds is awful.
What has he done?
Tremaine Edmonds.
I don't understand.
Definition of mid.
He's so mid. I don't understand. Like, what did Wagner do last year that earned a 91?
I mean, play the run well.
What Wagner did last year was decline athletically, play the run like he always has, and just get
big tackle
ultimately
numbers.
Worse than coverage.
Tackle numbers.
Because nobody else on the Seahawks defense could tackle. Like, who cares? Like,
right.
Like, how many of those are just like some like mid running back breaking off like one of whoever
listen,
was playing
are
like
the most overrated stat in all of football.
They don't
count tackles as like shoving a guy out of bounds or jumping on a pile.
Exactly.
I could do that.
Right.
Like, I could shove somebody out of bounds. Like, I could jump on a pile.
Right. Like you're telling me if however short he was, what was his name? Oh goodness. He was he was a shorter running back, Saints, Eagles.
Oh.
He like Sproles. He returned kicks a lot. Darren Sproles. You tell me if Darren Sproles was on the side, was like running down the sideline and I came up and pushed him, he wouldn't go out of bounds. No shot. And like that would go down as a tackle for me in the NFL, really. Pushing a 5'9" dude out of bounds. Like what?
Right.
I don't understand.
Like Bears fans, you know, the idea that Eddie Jackson can't tackle, the counter to that narrative is like Eddie Jackson had the fifth most tackles on the team or something last year. When
that
Eddie
doesn't
Jackson
mean he's a good
just
tackler.
Like, right. He was jumping on piles and shoving dudes out of bounds and having guys down.
That's what a safety does. They get beat and then they run them down and push them out of bounds because they're faster than them. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I mean, I love DeMario Davis. Levante David's good. Eric Kendricks, I think, might even still be a little bit too low at an 88.
I agree.
Devondre Campbell, I love Devondre. I really do, but I don't know if I have him. Actually, the guys he's above middle linebacker-wise, I'm okay with. But
he's top 10. I would say my biggest change is I'd drop Wagner out of the top 10. I'd move Leonard up to 2. I'd move Parsons up into the top 3. I'd drop David below Roquan.
Yeah.
And move Kendricks up.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I get that, yeah. Yeah, okay. So, after the linebackers, now we've gone over your favorite positions, is there any other ones that we should talk about that were particularly annoying or wrong?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Perfect. So let's move on to some Bears camp stuff. How tuned in have you been to what's going on in Bears camp?
I feel like I've been pretty tuned in. I feel like I've been following it pretty well.
So one thing that I've been seeing quite a bit is the Fields to Mooney thing. It seems like they're on a pretty good level with each other. Listen, I mean, I don't think that Mooney's a wide receiver 1 in the NFL. I really don't.
See, I used to think the same thing, but I'm coming around to it.
What do you think about? I feel like I know what you think about this, but you were one of the anti. Why is Terry McLaurin better than Darnell Mooney and Madden?
Yeah,
he's not better.
McLaurin's marginally better, not marginally. He's much better, but I think Mooney's ceiling is McLaurin.
So are you saying that right now you think that he will become like somebody who can be a wide receiver 1 in the NFL?
I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but I can see a world where Mooney is that type of wide receiver 1 where he's, you know, not physically dominant like an Allen Robinson or a DK Metcalf, but he's got the ability to get himself open and make plays on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely see that. Like that was my big thing with the whole McLaurin thing was like, that is Mooney's ceiling. That's what we're praying Mooney can one day be.
Mm.
You know, they're not close.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't want to say they're the same player, but like they're similar. They're smaller dudes who track the ball very well. They're quick. They're good route runners. They can get open. If Mooney can take a step or two forward, he can be, you know, on that level.
A Terry McLaurin-esque receiver. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Very comparable. Because I think physically, like in terms of like their combine drills and their actual size, they're very, very close. I think they can. He can be very much a McLaurin-esque wide receiver 1. I used to, like I said, I was very much we need a true wide receiver one. Because in my brain, wide receiver one is always like big body X. Now I'm starting to warm up to it. And the type of offense we're running with Getsy, you don't necessarily need that to be a huge part of it. So I would be more than okay if Mooney can take a step or two forward to be that number one guy. And him and Fields have a lot of chemistry already. So
yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. These two tweets came out in like within 10 minutes of each other. I think they're so funny. The first one, Justin Fields' pass bounces off Nikhil Harry's hands and Eddie Jackson picks it off.
It's the first highlight Eddie Jackson's had in 3 years.
In training camp after Nikhil Harry dropped a pass. I mean, let's talk about Nikhil Harry quickly. I'm assuming, what did you think of the signing when it first happened? I mean, obviously isn't like a huge thing, but...
Slow risk. You know, it's not going to hurt the organization at the end of the day if Harry doesn't make the team. You're trading a future seventh round pick for a guy who, like, maybe can come in and do something. So I don't have a problem with it. They're just taking a swing. You know, they needed to do something. And Nikhil Harry's a very, very good run blocker. And Chicago's going to be running the ball a hell of a lot this year, so having run-blocking receivers is going to be important. Like, we saw that. That was a big part of the Byron Pringle signing, is Pringle is a fantastic run-blocker receiver. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think at the very least, there's a world where Harry makes it as, like, the fourth receiver on the team, and you see him a lot on running downs.
That makes sense.
I think, I mean, he's not... Like, there's people that think he's the worst receiver in football. I can't get behind that. There's something there. You know, he looked great coming out of college.
There's no way he's,
think.
Like, the very bottom. No. Yeah.
Yeah. If he's your wide receiver four, I don't feel too bad about it.
That makes sense.
Just seeing where he can help a guy like that. But I'm not saying I think he's going to be great. I don't even know if he's going to make the team. But if he does, I'm not going to be upset.
Right. That makes sense. And then the other one was play of the day. This is bad for my narratives, but great for yours. Fields to Komet, deep up the seam, good ball, great catch.
I love that. Dude, I've seen it so many times. It's beautiful. It's art. It's art.
I will say that I want to be proven wrong about Cole Komet. I do. But I don't know if I'm convinced. I think he's okay. But like I'm more focused on just on Fields. It seems like he looks really good.
Oh, Fields' mechanics look so much better.
I've seen some of the videos. He looks a lot more comfortable. He looks like he's going through his process a lot smoother. I think that he has a decent chance to become the best quarterback out of that class. I don't know if he will because I don't know if he's like.
I think he's going to be number two at best. I'm very much a Trevor
Lawrence
believer.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, Trevor Lawrence makes some throws that I don't think Fields could make.
I don't care what anybody said. Trevor showed flashes of being a generational talent last year. People 100%. Are just too stupid to realize it.
They were too caught up in the whole. It's Jacksonville. They had Urban Meyer there. They had scandals going on left and right. Mm-hmm. They lost almost every game, but most of that was not Trevor's fault.
The thing that blows me away with Trevor last year is the amount of poise he showed despite everything going on both on and off the field.
The dude didn't.
Like, his offensive line would collapse, and his wide receivers would run into each other, and he'd still be standing upright in the pocket, cool as a cucumber, waiting for something to get open. And then he'd step into a throw and get hit from six different directions. Or off the field, they ask him about Urban Meyer, and he'd be like, well, you know, that's not really my place to comment. And on the field, he was yelling at Urban Meyer. Like, there's a clip... something had happened where I think maybe they had Carlos Hyde in and he fumbled or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And Trevor went over to the sideline and went up to Urban. He said, "Coach, you need to play your best fucking running back." Talking about James Robinson. Like he like up in his face yelling. You don't see rookies do that.
I mean, he's
came
right.
In with the mentality of a veteran. No, that's the point. Yeah, he was right. This isn't some rookie throwing a hissy fit. Like, "Coach, things aren't going my way." This is like, "Coach, get your shit together. This is not okay."
Right, and like,
was very impressed by Trevor
obviously
last
getting drafted to Jacksonville. He had to know that it wasn't going to end well, at least the first couple of years. But like the way that he kind of like did everything he could to make it look like it wasn't a total dumpster fire. Like if they had drafted anybody else, people would be like writing them off completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'd be like, "Oh,
if
this
that was
awful.
Justin in there, he'd already be a bust."
If that was Justin, people would be on, like, national media, like, get this kid out of the NFL. Like, it's over. There's no way.
Maybe he should play running back.
We hooping, baby.
That would be the narrative.
But, yeah, so obviously you're more tuned into Bears camp than I am. What if there's anything, like any other things you want to add about it, like who's looking good? You said something about Vilas looking okay.
Yeah, Vilas, like I said, they were calling him Gramps, and a lot of people really liked what Gramps had to offer. I think it was Kyler Gordon he got a couple times, because Kyler Gordon, they've been trying, you know, he's a versatile corner in the sense that he can play inside and outside very well. And there have been a lot of plays where they're trying him inside in the nickel just to see what that's like with Thomas Graham on one side and Jalen Johnson on the other. And when it's Kyler Gordon guarding Vilas Jones, there's been a lot of highlight-worthy plays coming out of it, apparently. So
makes sense.
And Kyler's an athletic dude. It's not like Vilas is breaking Eddie Jackson out there. You know, right. This is a real corner that can keep up with people.
Yeah.
So. And then Daz Newsome apparently looked really good, which I love.
Oh, yeah?
I'm a big Daz Newsome truther.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hit a couple nice plays. Jack Sanborn had a pick, which I love. Big, big Jack Sanborn truther. I really hope he makes the team. He is my ideal strong side linebacker. Fantastic against the run. Great leader, vocal. High motor, first guy in, last guy out. You know, the white stereotype, he fits it perfectly.
Yeah.
Which, like, I say that, but, you know, it's not a negative thing. That's great. You know, you want players that are like that. You know, high motor, gritty, first guy in, last guy out, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Cole Kmet torched Eddie Jackson on one play. And then toast, Nathan Peterman delivered a dive.
Hey, dude, the future Chicago. They got him in their back pocket.
That's the most Eddie Jackson thing in the world. He got burnt by a tight end that struggles separating and then got a dime thrown on him by Nathan Peterman.
My goodness.
Speaking of Eddie Jackson, apparently he was getting torn into a lot today. Eberflus was all over him in drills and one-on-ones.
I am absolutely not surprised at all by that.
I'm all for it. Dude, I love it so much.
Eberflus doesn't take
nobody's shit.
No.
Doesn't do it. Aggie was very much like, oh, yeah, good job, guys. You're trying your best out there.
Good job, Eddie.
Eberflus is like, yeah, good job, Eddie. You tried your best, buddy. Eberflus is like, Eddie, get your shit and get it together. Okay, literally, they said he was red in the face, yelling at him, getting up in his face. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a bunch of tweets about Eberflus like making the defense run drills again because they weren't like going all out and stuff.
A lot of it was because of Eddie, at least to my understanding.
They need tough love, basically. They're a team that needs to get like beaten up a little bit.
Yeah,
and that's
Listen. Nagy is the class, like, from what I could tell, obviously I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know for sure.
Sure.
But from what I could tell, Nagy seemed like the classic example of a coach that wants to be friends with the players.
He wanted to get the whole club dub thing.
Mm-hmm. And he was all about not praising him. Eberflus doesn't give a shit. I want you to do your thing and do it the best you can. And that's exactly what this defense needed, because it was so fucking lazy. Like, there were so many plays last year where even guys like Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks are out there taking plays off mid-drive and just not trying 100%. Like, genuinely speaking, from last year, I'll give Roquan Smith, Robert Quinn, and Jalen Johnson their flowers, because they were trying every single down. There was never a time where they took a play off. Everyone else, it's, you know, just kind of do it at your own pace. And then obviously some of the younger guys too, like Thomas Graham, who didn't get a lot of snaps. He was very much like, you know, playing scrappy, because that's what you get out of a sixth round pick. They're trying to make the team. But, you know, some of the star players, they just weren't trying out there. And Eberflus isn't going to put up with that shit. And I'm telling you right now, this is my bold prediction for Chicago this year. Either Eddie Jackson gets his shit together quick, or he's traded by the deadline.
And I think he's one of those guys who might not be great, but they also could get like a surprisingly decent return for him.
You could probably get a fourth or a third out of Eddie Jackson.
Which I think is good.
Dude, I would give somebody Eddie Jackson for like nickels on the dollar. Like, they're pennies on the dollar. Like, give me a future seventh round pick and we'll keep half his salary. Just get him off my goddamn team.
Yeah.
I'm so done with him. And I've said it before, I want to be wrong so bad. Because 2018 Eddie Jackson was such a stud and he was so electric.
Perfect.
But it's not going to happen.
Nope.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
So no. He's either gonna pull a complete 180, and maybe having a competent safety in Jaquan Brisker next to him will help a little bit because he hasn't had one since Amos. Mm-hmm. But like, he's either gonna pull a complete 180, or he's either gonna get traded or benched by midseason, I would say, if he doesn't get it together.
Yeah, I mean, the way Eberflus is running things, I would say that's not unrealistic
Eberflus
at all.
Eddie Jackson is very much an anti-Eberflus player.
Sure, yeah. What else we got? Oh, this one might hurt your heart a little bit, but I don't know if you saw this tweet, but Blazin Game has had a few bad drops. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
Kari didn't play last year. He got hurt. Mm-hmm. So he's probably just adjusting. It's the first day of camp. I'm not too worried about it. Drops are apparently a big issue across the board today for the offense.
That's what I heard.
So it's not just Kari. It's everybody.
Mm-hmm. What I'm scared of now that like we've been talking a lot and we're pretty involved in each other's content is the second that Kari Blazegam does literally anything against the Packers, my life is over. Like it's like I'm gonna have to be off Twitter for a week. Like if he scores a touchdown on the goal line, I'm uninstalling Twitter for at least a few days.
Yeah, I will be the most obnoxious motherfucker in the world if he scores against Green Bay.
A guy that I have not heard a lot about, maybe I don't even know if he's playing in like camp or if he's holding out or something, because I'm not really in tune with the Bears, but I haven't heard a word about Jalen Johnson. Is he holding out? Is he doing something weird?
No, Jalen Johnson's there. He's just been quiet. I think, you know, he's not somebody that we're all looking for to prove something. So there's a lot of hype when he does his thing.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, if Kyler Gordon does something, it's all over Twitter because it's like, oh my God, the rookie's doing this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. Jalen would have to do like an acrobatic one-handed 360 pick for anybody to get excited over it. You know, like Jalen's already proven his shit. Nobody's going to be shocked when he tackles somebody or he deflects a pass. Like it's just, you know, it's the first day of camp. Nobody's looking for the veterans that have proven themselves already to do anything crazy.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of this Lamar Jackson kid? It seems like
the corner?
Yes, the corner.
he apparently had a really good day.
I saw a tweet. They said he had a pick six off of Trevor Siemian, which I know it's Trevor Siemian, but still.
I mean, yeah, he apparently had a really good day. So
is he going to be a starter? I'm assuming not.
No, he wouldn't be a starter. If he made the team, there's no chance. Our top four are solidified. Like, fifth corner, you know, maybe.
There you go. Got some depth
in the NFL
today,
you got to be like five or six deep at corners. So
yeah, that's
you can play.
Wouldn't necessarily hate that, yeah. All right. Any other Bears training camp thoughts before we move into some more general NFL stuff?
Apparently Robert Quinn looked really good today. So one of the old Bears
doesn't surprise
old coaches,
me.
I can't remember who it was. He showed up and he was quoted as saying, like, I can't believe that dude's that quick for his age. Cause Robert Quinn's like, what, 32?
Around there.
So he's still quick and he's, from everything I understand, the whole Robert Quinn once out of Chicago thing was complete bullshit.
Honestly,
he actually is
probably just a media thing. Yep.
Yeah, I think if anything, it's the Bears are kind of weighing their value with Quinn just because we're trying to get younger and he's the age he is and at the peak of his value. So, like, if they trade him, I get it. I would kind of prefer them to do it if they're going to do it. I would prefer them to do it now because he's at his, you know, the height of his value. But like, I'll take him to play through the year.
Sure.
Help Travis Gibson a lot. He'll make the corners jobs a lot easier. You know, he's still a good ball player. People forget he had 18 and a half sacks last year.
Nuts.
Yeah. Quinn's still that dude. But it kind of boils down to with him not wanting to leave Chicago. You know, he's not quite been a journeyman, but he's kind of been with a couple. He's been around the block a few times, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would say he's probably happy finally having a home and getting paid. So
yeah,
I hope he sticks around, but if they trade him, it better be for something good. You know, if we get like a second or third out of Quinn, I'll take it.
Yeah, makes sense. So yeah, obviously, I mean, the Bears aren't like some team that you'd be super excited about for this year.
That's not true.
Like, I mean, like, super excited to watch it. Bears. But, like, super excited to, like, watch them win football games because they won't be winning football games.
No, but they're going to look cool while they do it because they are going to have a badass orange helmet.
They're going to be the coolest looking team that loses 13 games this year. I'll tell you that much. There's no way anybody looks cooler than them. I think
you
mean
12 games. Thank you very much. 13 games. What is this hearsay? It's 12.
What is this BS? 4? 12. They're getting games. 5.
Nico had him at 3.
That's blasphemy. I'm sorry. I love Nico.
No,
but
I mean, I have the Bears. When I made my prediction video, I had their floor at 3 wins. So, like, I get it.
But my floor at them is 1.
1?
Yeah, man. The floor, like, absolute worst version of the Bears we could see. Is 1.
Justin Fields would have to die.
He would have to physically die for
the Bears to win 1 game.
That's why it's their floor and not my actual prediction.
Oh, of course. Right, everyone, you got to leave that little bit of wiggle room just in case the quarterback mysteriously drops dead. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, my floor for every single team is just what would happen if their quarterback died. That's how it works.
Okay,
like, what would happen if Justin Herbert was just gone and it was Chase Daniel? Like, 4 or 5
they
wins,
still win.
Maybe.
Nah, they go to the Super Bowl still. Chase Daniel is that
goated back up.
Now, speaking of Fields dying, though, I should point out that Tevin Jenkins didn't practice today, and everyone's kind of concerned about that. But Eberflus said he came down with something this morning. I don't know what that is.
Am I thinking of somebody different, or was he bad last year?
He wasn't bad, he just didn't play a lot.
He was a rookie last year? Yeah.
Jumpy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I am thinking of the right guy, though. Yeah.
He wasn't bad, he was just kind of jumpy. He didn't adjust well, because he didn't play until, like, week 15.
Yeah. So I remember he had a kind of a disaster class in the second game against the Packers, and I was like, I don't know about this kid.
Because they were trying to play him out of position. They wanted him to play left tackle. He's a textbook right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he'd be better as a guard than anything, but
sure
is what it is. Yeah, he didn't practice today, and people got worried about that. But he's got, like, food poisoning or some shit.
Hmm.
Anyways, nice. Enough about the Bears.
Yeah, I just have a couple things. Shouldn't be too long of a segment, but a couple things we want to talk about general NFL stuff. First of all, we got to mention Julio.
Is he wearing 85?
I'm pretty sure we both tweeted that exact same thing.
I didn't tweet about it, but I've
was the second I saw that video, I quoted it, and I was like, I don't care about this touchdown pass. I just really hope Julio was not wearing 85.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, I can't see that man in a number but 11. Even seeing him wearing 2 was weird.
Yeah.
But, here's the thing. What does this mean? I mean, does this give them the best receiving core in the NFL if Godwin becomes back healthy, do you think?
I would say so.
He's better than the Bengals.
Those
are the two that I kind of go back
right,
and forth.
Right, that's kind of tough. It's like, I don't know. Because I'm a firm believer that T. Higgins is, like, borderline top 15, if not top 15. But I'm also a firm believer that Julio's not washed. So it's tough. I think I can see the argument both ways. I might still have to go with the Bengals, though.
I think people need to understand that Julio's never been a volume touchdown guy outside of a few years.
No, it's just not his game.
Not at all. But obviously, this is just another addition to the Brady trying to get a ring. I don't really care. I hate Brady. I hate the Bucks. Do whatever you want.
Brady's awesome. I love Brady.
He's broken my heart too many times, man. Stupid NFC Championship game. Scotty Miller burning Kevin King. I'm sorry.
Don't be mad at Scotty Miller. Be mad at Kevin King.
I'm very mad at Kevin King. Is he still on our team? He is. Never mind. That's not the point. It's fine. It's okay. OBJ, landing spots. Green Bay. That's actually my prediction. Outside of, I actually don't know who else I'm, like, mocking him to. I haven't really thought about it that much, but I think he'd be great in Green Bay. I think he'd be awesome.
Who? Julio?
OBJ.
Oh, OBJ? not going to play football this year.
Yeah, he will. Why wouldn't he play football this year?
He just tore his ACL again.
That's true. Dang it.
I get the optimism. I'm not trying to shit on OBJ, but like he just tore his ACL for the second time in how many years?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, don't pull that. I forgot that was a thing until you just brought it up.
I'm not gonna say it, but I'm just gonna laugh.
yeah. But yeah, what? Second time in like 3 or 4 years, right?
That's true. Yeah. That's fair.
Like yeah, I'm not trying to talk bad on him, but that's rough to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if he were to go somewhere, I suppose Green Bay would fit. He probably wants to go to a contender.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, where else could he end up? Other like contending teams desperately need receiver help.
Titans, maybe?
Titans aren't contending.
I don't know if I would consider them contending.
They're not even going to make the playoffs. Colts could use them, true.
Colts
could definitely use them.
That's about all I got. Like,
I wanted Julio to go to the Colts so bad.
The Bears?
I will cry if Odell's a Bear. I hate Odell.
There's no reason to like Odell.
No, there's not.
All right. Yeah, last thing I wanted to hit was just there are some interesting win total over-unders in Vegas. I want to talk about a few of them.
Oh, no. Okay.
That we can like see if we agree with them. I don't understand... Mm-hmm. How the Bears are at 6.5 right now.
Really?
Like who's taking the over on that? Who's taking 7 wins from the Bears team?
Me.
Would you? Like if you were actually a betting man, would you take the over on that 6.5 mile?
I would not.
No, you would not. Because they are not a good football team. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't
bet on the Bears.
Right. And like staying in the NFC North, also at 6.5 is Detroit. Why do they have the same over-under? Why do they have the same over-under as the Bears?
It's ridiculous. Because Goff.
Yeah, it's true. Also, 6.5 is Mr. Trevor Lawrence and his Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm taking the under on that all day, every day. I hate what the Jaguars did this offseason.
Yeah.
I hate every move they made just about. Made the most forgettable first overall pick in God knows how long. They overpaid a bunch of mediocre talent.
Yep.
I will say, though, I like Foley Fatakasi. He got paid. I respect that. But, like, Foye Oluokun, fucking Christian Kirk, who's still the 5th highest paid receiver in football.
Somehow.
Ridiculous. They said, all right, we've got all this money. Let's throw it at, like, 6 guys and see what happens. And then also draft, oh my God, I always forget his name. What's the other edge rusher they drafted that completely fell apart?
Last year? The Jags?
No, it wasn't last year. It was within the last couple of years. He was supposed to be great. They took him in the first round, and then he fell apart and hasn't done a thing.
Yeah, talking about Josh Allen.
Oh, no. Josh Allen's great. The other one. Their other edge rusher.
I don't know. Oh, my God, man.
This is going to piss me off.
I'm going to look up their depth chart and see where... I got this.
I'm going to remember it.
The Battle of the Chrome.
I'm going to remember it.
Come on.
Don't say it. I'm going to remember it. It's, he's got a goofy name.
Goofy name. I have two guys who you could be thinking of. And the outside linebackers.
Kalavon Chaisson. That's his name.
Oh. I didn't know if you were talking about Dwayne Smoot or Chad Mumma.
Chad Mumma, I like him. That was actually a solid pick. Like, no, Kalavon Chaisson.
Yeah, he's right below Trayvon.
Same idea.
Yeah.
Same idea as Walker in the sense that, like, you know, great athlete, high upside, which Walker is a better prospect. I'm not trying to say they're the same player.
Yeah.
But it's the same thought process, and I just don't trust that team to literally take Trayvon Walker and give him an entire pass rush ability. Because he can't rush the passer for shit right now. All he can do is power rush.
Right.
He has no finesse to him. He has no moves. He doesn't know how to trick offensive linemen.
Nope.
He can't do any of that, and he has to learn that from scratch, and I just don't trust Jacksonville to be the team to teach him.
No.
Now, if they would have taken, I don't know, Aiden Hutchinson... Kayvon Thibodeau, even George Karlaftis would have been a better first overall pick.
I'm a big Karlaftis guy. Yeah,
I had Karlaftis as my third edge rusher. Like, I genuinely think any of those or any of the tackles, the linemen. Hell, they could have taken Garrett Wilson first overall, and I would have thought it was a better pick.
Sure. Any receivers?
They made the wrong pick. They overpaid a bunch of people. They took Devin Lloyd, who I'm not a big fan of. And then, like, they didn't take any receivers in the draft. They took another running back.
Which they already reached on ETN in the first round. He didn't even play last year.
Yeah, exactly. They screwed the pooch this offseason. People, listen, I will die on this hill. People want to talk about how the Bears, quote-unquote, didn't do enough for Fields. Go look at what Jacksonville just did for Trevor Lawrence.
They got him a wide receiver three to be his wide receiver one and paid him a crap ton of money. And then Evan Engram, who can't catch a pass. Like,
I'll give them credit for Engram a little bit because he fits their scheme very well. He's good. He's okay.
Like, he's not like. And
Sheriff was a good pickup. I'll give them Brandon Sheriff.
Sheriff. But, like, they could have had. They could have ended this offseason if they had played their cards right money wise with Evan Neal or Ike Ekwonu and Terron Armstead. But instead, they ended up with neither of those people. So.
Though you have to convince Terron Armstead to come to Jacksonville.
That is fair.
I don't believe that would have happened, but
no, probably not. But still, you could have gotten the best offensive lineman in the draft because you picked first overall. So whatever.
I hate everything. I hate just about everything they did this offseason. I feel bad for Trevor, but Trevor's still going to look like a G out there. So it's not.
I'm so excited for his breakout year this year. Yeah. Another one that sticks out to me is the Giants sitting at 7.5.
Oh my god!
How'd they get better? Like Kayvon. That's it. Evan Neal.
I got Kayvon for DePoy.
For DeRoy, you mean?
Whatever it's called. Defensive
rookie of the year, not player, because Micah Parsons, whatever.
No, I've got the Giants as like the third worst team in football. I do not have a lot of
Yeah, they're awful. I'm taking the under on that.
I don't trust Daniel Jones at all. And their receiver core, I mean, we don't know what's going on with Tony. We don't know what the hell happened to
Tony
Holiday.
Was practicing, so...
Okay. They don't have a tight end. Their tight end room is abysmal.
Last year, it was Evan Engram and Kyle Rudolph, and they're both gone, so I don't even know who's there.
Like rookie Seals Jones.
Oh, that's right, yep.
I will say, I like Daniel Bellinger. They drafted him. I like Bellinger, but
where's
outside of him...
Do you remember? I know I've heard the name.
I don't remember for the life of me. I suck with colleges.
So do I, yeah.
But yeah, I like him. He was solid. He's a good athlete. He's kind of like, he has the potential to be Dable's second Gronk, or not second Gronk, second Knox. Like he's very similar to Dawson Knox. They also like I got to give him credit because they got Jeremiah Hall out of free agency. But like, it's just a bad. They have one viable corner right now.
Who?
They don't have linebackers. Their defensive line's solid.
Wait, who's their viable corner?
Dory Jackson.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot he's still there.
Yeah. It's just not a good like. I don't know. And the thing is, too, they brought in a great defensive coordinator with Wink Martindale, but he's not going to be able to run the type of system he wants to run because his corners aren't good enough. So he's going to have to improvise, and that's going to be rough.
Right. It's like the same thing with like I think the Jaguars' offensive coordinator is good, but last year was like. What are you supposed to do? Like, what are you...
Right.
All right. Now, listen, Laquan Treadwell, you go out there and you run with 35-year-old Marvin Jones.
Don't slander Laquan Treadwell. Geek will come for your head.
I've had conversations about Laquan Treadwell with him. Yeah,
I have as well.
Another one that kind of surprises me: Vegas, after winning 10 games last year and getting the best receiver in football, are at 8.5.
I have them winning
the division.
What?
Why? What? Why not?
With what secondary?
They don't need a secondary to win football games.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
You do.
Nope.
You're going up against Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert here and Russell Wilson. You absolutely need a secondary.
I don't know if I have them winning the division. I haven't done my record prediction for them yet. They're up there with the Chargers,
though,
for me.
Third. Have them in third in their division, still making the playoffs, but winning 9 football games.
I think they're definitely a playoff team. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they're a playoff team, but I have them as like the 7th seed in the AFC.
I don't know why I'm so high on the Raiders. It's just they have Darren Waller and Devonta Adams and Hunter Renfro.
They have
Josh
a lot of
Jacobs
talent, but their secondary doesn't exist, and they don't have any good linebackers. Their front four is good. Kind of. The interior of their defensive line is shady. Like, you got good edge rushers. Linebackers are weak. Corners are weak. You got Trayvon Moehrig, but that's your only safety. They're just going to have to score 80 points a game if they want to win anything.
I hear your secondary argument, and I raise you the Bengals, who only had Jesse Bates, and that's it.
No, Mike Hilton is a lot better than what the Raiders have going on. Eli Apple is a lot better than what the Raiders have going on.
Man,
Eli Apple is,
yeah, I guess it's fair.
I'm not going to say an underrated corner, but Eli Apple was solid up until the Super Bowl where he let up one bad play.
And everyone was like, there it is! There it is! Caught him! Caught him! There it is! We found him! We got him! Like, yeah. Chill out.
It was just Chris Hansen to catch a... What do I want to say here? To
Hi,
catch
I'm Chris
a fraud
Hansen.
Moment. It's Chris Hansen to catch a fraud moment. No, but yeah, the Raiders secondary is not near as good as the Bengals was last year. Hell, even Von Bell is better than what they have going on at safety. Bengals secondary was solid.
What else do we got?
The Raiders have nothing.
They got a lot of heart and spirit because Derek Carr is their leader. That's all they need. With
at the end of the day,
him and Devontae Adams are going to propel the Raiders to Super Bowl with the power of friendship. Just you wait.
Power of friendship.
I don't think any of these other ones stand out to me, except for maybe the Titans at 9.5.
I got them under that. I got them winning 8 games.
Yeah, they're 8-9 this year, I think. Unfortunately.
You just can't lose your best receiver and not replace him.
And I don't like Tannehill at all. Like,
and also Tannehill. For me with Tannehill, I feel like a lot of people are overlooking this, is the fact that he's talked about this offseason having PTSD from that playoff game.
Yep.
It sent him spiraling. He was bad mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So like, and I'm not trying to like make fun of him or poke fun at his mental, issues or anything, but like that's probably going to affect him come regular season,
because he just lost in the playoffs again. Yeah,
and it's just like I said, he was talking about he had to go, I think he had to seek therapy, he had to have his friends and family help him, like it really hit hard for him. And I just don't know, he said he's good now, but you say that and then when you get into the actual game situation, it's probably going to be a little bit different. So I'm just worried how he's going to come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, plus you got your receiver core is bad. Yeah, I'm starting to come around on Treylon Burks, but I'm still not there yet.
Yeah.
Robert Woods is coming off a torn ACL, and then who's your third? Westbrook Akine?
Somebody like that, and don't trust him, obviously. Not yet, at least.
And then they have what, Austin Hooper? They have Chigakunkwo, who I'm a big fan of, but like Austin Hooper's their tight end. Defensive line's nice. They're solid, but their secondary could use some work. A couple guys to step up there. Mm-hmm. They do have the second best safety in football.
Yeah.
I just don't trust their offense very much. At least their passing offense.
Yeah.
They do have Torrey Carter, though. Torrey Carter's a stud fullback. He looked very good last year.
I would say so. Yeah, fullback's always an important part of it.
It is when you have a team like that.
Yeah. It's true.
When you're running a zone or a power zone ish scheme. I always get flamed because I always call their scheme the wrong thing because my brain is just like Derrick Henry equals
Derrick Henry,
power. It's more of like a zone run scheme, but they still utilize their fullback quite often. And Torrey Carter looked very good last year. He's very athletic and he's a solid blocker, but he's no Kari Blassen game, that's for sure.
I think that's all I got. Any closing thoughts from you, my man?
LU's checks the top 20 player in the NFL.
Just you wait for my hot takes podcast episode. You'll hear my thoughts.
If you disagree with me, you're wrong.
I don't know if I do yet, but I'm just saying you will hear my thoughts either way.
Just let me put it this way. Remove the designation, right? Take out your preconceived notions about him being a fullback. And just look at what he does on the field, and then come back to me.
That's the thing. I'm watching.
Like, I understand everyone's going to have that little bit of bias where it's like, oh, he's a fullback, but like, watch how important he is for that offense.
I will.
If he's not there in San Francisco, that legendary rushing offense that Shanahan is so famous for, it crumbles. It absolutely
what's
crumbles.
Gonna happen? I kind of don't dislike Kyle Juszczyk because I always wonder what would have happened in that NFC Championship game if Raheem Mostert hadn't had 200 yards.
Well, I'm just saying, Kyle Juszczyk can do literally everything on offense. If he threw a pass this year, it would not shock me. It's the only thing we haven't seen him do offensively.
Hey.
He can block incredibly. He's a great runner. He's a fantastic receiver. He's very physical. Have you seen the video of him stiff-arming Minkah Fitzpatrick into the dirt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Posted on my TikTok all the time. It's beautiful.
You heard it here first. Bet the over on the Kyle Juszczyk passing touchdowns. This is the year. This is the year he gets one.
It's probably like 0.5. Take the over.
Take the over. But yeah, thanks again so much for being on. Had a really good time talking with you.
Absolutely.
If you want to plug your socials, go ahead and do it right now. Your podcast, whatever.
If you want to follow my podcast, like you said at the very beginning, what's that been? An hour and a half ago. We're known as the Ball Knower Podcast. It's me and my buddy Andrew, but he hasn't been showing his face too much recently because it's been very NFL-oriented. He's more of a basketball guy. But once again, that's the Ball Knower Podcast. We know ball, so to speak. And on TikTok, Twitter, all that other good stuff, it's just MillerFootball_. I had to do the underscore because some other asshole had MillerFootball already. But he has like 2 followers and posted 1 video, so I don't care. It's my brand now, and he can suck it. I post like 3 to 5 times a day on TikTok, usually yes, fullback oriented. But
let's go.
If you're into fullbacks, which you should be, definitely come and check me out. I've been told I'm the biggest fullback supporter on TikTok, and I
and
only
if
have,
you're
like,
not into fullbacks, the best way to get into them is by watching your content.
Mm-hmm. I will preach the gospel till the day I die, baby. You will learn.
You will.
Learn. I gotta drop. I have people begging me to drop my top fullback list, so I got to
do it. You got to do it. Yeah, you got to do it.
I'm going to rank. I have to rank. I think there's like 30 in the league right now. I'll have to double check. But I
all
30
of them, bro. All 30 of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And just as a spoiler, Alex Arma will move in last.
Where does John Kuhn rank in your all-time fullbacks?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I do like John Kuhn a lot, though.
I was too young to know how good of a football player he was, but I always loved him as a kid.
Yeah. John Kuhn was great. Who was the Bears fullback back then? That was Tyler Klutz, Tony Fiamata.
Just pulling these names out of nowhere.
Michael Burton was the Bears fullback. That was the last fullback we had before Kari in 2018. And then, of course, the greatest fullback other than Jim Brown of all time, Bronco Nagurski, Chicago Bears legend.
Of course, yes.
So, fun fact. Here, I'll leave you guys with a fun fact. I made a TikTok about this a long time ago. Bronco Nagurski is the reason why NFL players can throw a pass beyond 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Like, before Bronco did it in a playoff game, you weren't allowed to throw the ball forward if you weren't 5 yards or more behind the line of scrimmage. And then Bronco did it and threw a touchdown in the NFL's first ever championship game. The league was like, you know what?
Let's
like
do it.
That. We're going to do it. So a fullback is the father of the modern forward pass. I'm not joking when I say that.
You guys are watching Patrick Mahomes. There's only one reason for that.
Patrick Mahomes needs to thank Bronco Nagurski publicly for allowing him to do what he does.
Press conference. Yeah, let's go.
That's going to be a narrative I'm going to push. Bronco Nagurski is the father of the forward pass, even though he wasn't the first player to throw a pass forward.
Happy Father's Day to Bronco Nagurski.
Every quarterback has to wish Bronco Nagurski a happy Father's Day.
Yep.
Oh my God. All also, right, Jim Brown was a fullback. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. The media lie.
Everybody tells him. Everybody on TikTok says he's a fullback. Like that's like I've been hearing a resurgence of the Jim Brown best fullback ever takes. So,
there's
yeah.
a difference between a running back and a halfback.
There is.
Halfback is Walter Payton. A fullback is Jim Brown. But both are a running back.
Best fullback of all time, maybe. Let's go,
sir.
All right.
I'll shut up now so you can wrap up.
Thanks again for being on, man. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
All right, see you.